Welcome back to the Silo Podcast. I'm here with
Scoot
or Caleb, and we're here to talk about kind of who you are.
I'm a human.
Cool. End of the podcast. See you next time. Let's get into it.
Perfect. First.
Oh, he's got something to say.
For all you Discord people out there.
Hey, yo, Discord.
You might know me as the person that talks about random topics and questions the world itself. So my question is grass just the Earth's version of carpet?
Good question. I feel like I always answer, so I want to hear your response first.
Yes.
That was the Uno reverse card really quick. Okay. Yes, it is.
Yes, it is indeed. Feels
soft.
What if
this grass got super tall though? Is it just like shag carpet at that point?
At that point, it's just shaggy carpet.
Okay, that's fair. Is it like the Earth's like hair, or is like trees the hair?
Hey man, you're getting too crazy. You're blowing my mind.
I'm sorry. I take it back.
No, it's the carpet.
Okay, cool.
The Earth doesn't have a head.
Okay. You learn something new every day, and I did. I just learned that the Earth doesn't have a head.
At least I think not. Does that make mountains pimples?
Yep. Volcanoes.
Oh.
Volcanoes are.
Oh, snap.
Yeah.
Erupting volcano.
Does that make sense?
Whoa.
Mind literally blown.
The more you learn on the Silo Podcast.
Welcome. Welcome, everyone.
Thank you.
So let's get into what it means to be Scoot. What does it mean to be a Scoot? How old are you? What do you do? Where are you at in life? Give me a little background, and then we'll kind of dig deeper into what you do creatively.
Perfect. Well, I'm a Scoot. I am a 17-year-old kid that lives with his parents because I'm a minor. I can do that and not be made fun of.
I would have made fun of you. It saves you a ton of money.
It does indeed.
Yes, sir.
It does indeed. A little background about myself is, like, growing up, like, I'm the youngest of six kids. That's a big family, man. At least to me, until I moved to Lancaster. That got crazy.
Hey, yo.
But I am a musician. That's my creative venture. I focus on, like, piano, audio engineering, and I love being, like, a creative consultant for music projects. Like, that's what I do as, like, a side gig. And that all started, actually, when I was eight.
Whoa.
When I was 8 years old.
When you had your first client at eight?
Little tyke. first client at eight? No, I didn't. When I was about 8 years old, my brother and I got bored a lot. And we were just like, what do we do to pass the time? And then I really started getting into music. And I was that little kid that was into, like, Kidz Bop. And my brother was like, no. Kidz Bop is disgusting. Get that out of here. Kidz Bop is gross. Let me show you what music's truly about. And I was like, all right. He showed me, like, stuff from the 60s, like Sam Cooke. Showed me, like, Michael Bolton. Like, tons of older artists that were just super unique. Cat Stevens, stuff like that. And my mind got flipped, turned upside down. Like, I'm, like, the Prince of Bel-Air or something. But then my brother and I just started, like, singing all the time. Just, like... And that gave me a passion for music because I was like, you know what? It'd be cool to do this as, like, a job.
Yeah.
But I was like, I had the doubts in my mind of, like, okay, this isn't going to be affordable. I'm not going to be able to make a living off this. So I, like, would never be able to do that.
Is that from the world's view of, like, starving artists? Like,
oh, 100%.
You kind of had that in your mind that, like, 100%. There's no way I can go creative full time.
The world installs in you, like, images of, like, what true success is and, like, being a doctor or being, like, a engineer or something, like, building, like, the Golden Gate Bridge or whatever. I don't know. But for the longest time, because of that, I wanted to be a doctor.
Yeah.
Oddly enough. I thought, okay, how can I make tons of money? And I was like, and that's, like, the worst reason to be a doctor.
I can save people's lives, I guess.
If I become a brain surgeon, like, hear me out, but I become a brain surgeon. That's what I thought for the longest time.
Yeah, yeah.
And then in 2020, COVID time, believe it or not.
Whoa.
I had my first job.
Whoa.
Ever.
Whoa.
I had my first job at a warehouse, and we just worked on packing curriculum. That was my job. I packed books. I sent books to people. They were math books. I gave people torture willingly, and I got paid for it. It disrespectful, man. I'm sorry for every single person that received any package that I packed. But
it's a rough place to be at, given Scoot giving you a book.
But it was good. It was good because I made money, and money helped me fund my first creative thing I decided to go into. Because I was about, like, it's 2023. Oh, my gosh. Just now I realized
how
that.
The time has flown by.
Yeah, so I would have been 14 in 2020.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, I would have been 14, had my first job in a warehouse, lifting and pushing skids, you know. It was great. And I just said to my mom out of nowhere, because I just had this random thought in my head. I was like, I want a piano. I'm like an impulsive like buyer as well. So my mom, like, I figured my mom would call Bull and just be like, what?
Yeah.
Like, you want to get a piano? Like, why? But I asked her, I was like, hey, mom, can I like drop like a ton of money on a piano that I just made from working this summer? She's just like, oh, sure. Let's, yeah. What piano? And I was like, wait, what?
Hold up.
And so I got it. And it was a Yamaha P125, which is, like, a really, like, nice portable Yamaha. It's great. Like, mid-tier piano. Really good. But I got it, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to be dedicated. I worked for this money. Like, I put legit blood, sweat, and tears into this.
To, you like, gave earn other the money. People tears, too.
I gave other books. The pre-calc. That's where I got the tears from. I didn't cry. Yep. They cried.
Yep.
Pre-calculus is not fun. Sorry for math nerds out there. But I got the piano, and I just decided, you know what? I'm going to mess around a bit. So I messed around, and then my mom was like, oh, well, I'll just, like, get on lessons. So I had, the mic flipped around. Stupid leaf.
you stupid leaf.
Stupid leaf. I have my mic on a leaf right now.
we're in a park, by the way, yeah, for you audio listeners.
So we got, like, piano lessons, and it was with this amazing guy named Mark. Shout out to you, Mark. Like this just middle-aged guy just teach me piano, and I couldn't read sheet music. And that was what I'd consider to be one out of the three roadblocks that hit me and hits me still even as a musician, is not being able to learn how to read sheet music. Because even with how you learn instruments at all, it's all based on that.
Yeah.
So if it's all based on that, you just feel super insecure of your abilities compared to other
people. Yeah, it's like a fundamental, like, structural thing.
Because every musician at some point in their life compares himself to others.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it was the biggest thing of, like, oh, like, I'm not one of those classical musicians that can, like, read sheet music and do all that. And so that was, like, the biggest thing. But then he learned that I could, like, learn by ear. And I was like, okay, I guess I can work with this. So we started diving into stuff like jazz, and that's when my, like, love for music truly started to come alive. And this is, like, you don't even know this, man.
Uh-oh.
It's, like, some intense, intense stuff. I remember as, like, I was, like, almost 15, and I decided, like, I might actually have a shot with this, like, piano stuff. And I started diving into songwriting, and I was like, I'm on audition for America's Got Talent.
Hey, yo. What?
So I legit did that.
This is a live reaction from me. Yeah, I have live no reaction. Idea that
he's,
you did this.
He's never heard this. Most people haven't. Yeah, I just decided to, and it was like, it was one of my first songs. It wasn't even that good looking back at it. But I had, like, hope. And then when I, like, didn't get in, I was like, oh, wow, this sucks. And I kept going on a journey of whatever progress I'd make, I would just hate it because I hated the way I played. I hated the way I did things. And that stayed for a long, long, long time. Until I met a certain young red-headed man.
I don't know who's red-headed
in
your circles.
He's like this short guy with, like, tats and stuff, glasses.
You said it, not me.
Short red-head man. You know who you are. Hi, Gavin. Part of Silo.
Oh, hey, Gavin. now that he said your name, it makes sense.
Yeah, so I moved to York I moved to York in 2021. And when I moved to York, I was still, like, taking piano lessons and, like, kind of, like,
because you were
myself.
In Flo Rida before?
I was in, actually, that dives into something else. Yeah, I was raised in Florida the first, like, 7 years of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Then a job that my dad got landed us in Pennsylvania, where I've been ever since. But I grew, like, I had most of my years in Pennsylvania in Mannheim, Mannheim, Lancaster. So yeah, just a little tiny fact about me. But we ended up moving to my grandparents' old house. My grandparents were selling their house, and so we moved to my grandparents' old house. So from then, I was just chilling, minding my own business, and then my dad, he's a professor at Lancaster Bible College, and there was a student he had that like really needed a place to stay, and my dad was like, "Oh, we should like let him in and stuff, and show him some love." That is none other than my great friend, Josh K. Yeah.
Josh K.
He stayed in the room right next to me for like a month and a half. Drank all of our tea super quickly. Normal Josh things. But he said one day, because we were wondering what he was going to do, because I believe it might have been spring break or a little bit before spring break, but I asked him, I was like, "Hey, what are you doing?" And he was like, "Oh, I'm just going to a friend's house. He, like, lives super close, I think." And I was like, "What's his address?" And he was just like, "Oh, he lives on, like, a street." He said the street. I'm not going to disclose your address, Gavin, I swear. But it was Gavin. And he lives literally right down the street. Like, not
probably
even,
like, six houses down.
Over. Yeah, yeah, 6 houses over. Yeah, he lived just right there. And so when my mom learned of this, my mom's like a super social person. She was like, "Oh, invite him for dinner." And then my mom figured out he had Crohn's. And she was like, "What do I make?" So she was panicking, made something. And I met Gavin. And Gavin is an amazing guitarist, if you don't know. But I was talking to him, and he seemed like a cool dude. And he started coming over to our house to lead like worship nights and stuff. And that was crazy. And I really got to know who he was, and one day he was just like, "Hey, like, I'm part of this group called Silo."
Not just part, he kind of runs it.
Well, yeah, but that's not what he said.
Yeah.
And I was like, "All right." And he invited me to this event, and I was like, "Okay, well, I don't have a ride." And he's like, "I can drive you." And I was like, "Sick." And so he drove me to my first ever Silo event. It was a Silo Poetry Slam, right?
Yeah.
Silo Poetry Slam.
Yeah.
That's when my mind completely flipped about how I treat creativity. Because there are people talking there, dealing with the same stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like self-doubt, self-criticism, imposter syndrome.
Big one.
Burnout. All these things that I struggled with, and I kind of felt alone as a creative because I didn't have much community. I found that community. And from there, I started to truly appreciate my work and dive deeper into piano and music. And then I decided, you know what? I want to produce. Like, producing sounds fun. I ran live audio one time at my youth group up in Ephrata, PA. Like, just one time. And that's it. And I was like, this is actually kind of cool. So I then decided, well, I'm going to just invest in this. So I asked my mom again. I was like, "Hey, can I like drop like ridiculous amount of money on some audio equipment?" She's just like, "Yeah, sure." And I was like, "What?" This is like so outside the norm.
Yeah.
So I got it, and I just truly started flying with that. And it was like production and like the music theory and like the really colorful ambient music that just sounds so nice. Like, that's what really got me like hooked. And that's where I am today. I'm like practicing piano, getting some ridiculous instruments. Like, I got an accordion the other day.
You played the melodica for us?
Yeah, melodica. Melodica is like a little like handheld like piano harmonica thing. It's great. Wonderful. Doesn't sound as stupid as it looks.
It really doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
It sounded good.
It sounds pretty good.
It would be like Mr. Talkbox or whatever. Yeah. You get like one of those see-through tubes or whatever.
Yeah,
or like you talk into.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the path you wanted to go down, right? You wanted to be Mr. Talkbox?
Exactly. That's why I got an accordion. I want to be Weird Al Yankovic. That's my true path. I got the hair. I just need to get a perm.
Yeah, you do.
That's where I'm at.
So you discussed one of your barriers. You said you had three. What are the other two?
Yeah, so the first one, obviously, was just like the reading sheet music.
Yeah.
That was super daunting. And along with that is time.
Okay.
So I've been playing for like 2.5 years now.
How old are you?
I'm 17.
17. So there's a lot that comes into play with time as well when you're this age.
Yes, especially when you're surrounded by creatives that have either been playing since they were little kids or they're just like full-grown adults, right?
Yeah.
So it's easy to compare yourself to others when they have, like, so much more experience. And especially, like, for me, like, I'm auditioning for a music program mm-hmm. at Lancaster Bible College. And for me, it's a struggle because they're like, oh, yeah, most people who make it in have been playing for, like, 6 to 10 years.
Yeah, they've been playing since they were, like, 4 years old, just diddling around on the piano.
Yeah. And here I am playing for about 2.5 years now.
Yeah.
And
killing it, by the way.
Yeah, but it's hard for me to see that.
Mm.
And I feel like that's, like, the hardest thing for a creative to do is to see the creative in yourself.
Mm. You see how many hours you spend, though?
Oh,
just
yeah.
Just from talking to you, you're just like, yeah, I just, you know, stayed up until 2 a.m. just diddling around. And I'm like, yeah. you put in probably, like, an extra 40 hours this week just hanging out doing your music stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, bro, put something out there in the world. You've got skills, bro.
It's so easy to produce other people's stuff.
Yeah.
It's so much harder to produce what you've created because you feel so much more self-conscious about it.
There's ownership and stuff that comes into play.
So time, that's huge. Knowing that, like, I haven't played that long and, like, realizing that I am advanced for the time I put in, especially. Like, I put
Heck
in, like,
yeah,
tons of time.
Spends overtime hours doing this stuff.
Yeah, I play, on average, for the last 2 years, I've been playing 6 to 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
My hands
Crazy.
Are jacked. there's
a six-pack on those.
Six-pack hands. Yeah, time is the second. The third one, imposter syndrome.
Hey, yo, let's dive into that.
So it's along the same lines of, like, comparing yourself to others, but not really. Because with music, like, a lot of people say, like, oh, yeah, like, everyone's done that progression, mm-hmm. that chord progression. Like, if you know what chord progressions are, like the heart and soul of a song. Like, well, lyrics are, all of it is.
Yeah.
Songs are soul. but everyone, I feel like, has done, like, all these chord progressions I've done, and all those doubts and stuff just come flooding in.
Mm-hmm.
And so imposter syndrome, time, and not learning how to, like, read sheet music and not knowing how,
mm-hmm.
like, those things truly blocked me. And they still do, to an extent. Mm-hmm. I'm not at the point, like, a lot of these, like, elder creatives that are like, oh, yeah, like I've gotten through that. It took me a bit, but I got through it. Because I'm fresh. I'm fresh into the game.
Mm-hmm. Fresh meat.
Fresh meat. Shark bait.
Exactly.
Ooh-ha-ha.
Ooh-ha-ha.
Welcome, brother, Sharkbait. Nemo reference. Shout out to Nemo.
Shout out to Nemo again.
But
so you have those three. Like, to wrap up here, like, what advice do you have for your future self? As we can say that you are fresh, what would be a future thing that you think you would run into? This is like a flip the script on younger self.
Wow.
But, like, if you're fresh, you know, there's a different perspective that you have.
I'd say one thing I want to start doing is to save my practice recordings.
Okay.
Because I have barely anything from when I first started. And so I haven't been able to just look back and see progress. Because when I looked back, I was like, oh, that looks like that's terrible. It sounds horrible.
Right.
Like, what
and
the heck?
And that shows that you have progress in your head, that, like, the maturity has continued.
Yeah. I remember, I forget his name. I feel so bad. I'm terrible with names, so I'm sorry. But you know that one, like, insane downhill skater dude?
Okay.
You know
I don't
what I'm
know.
Talking about?
Yeah, I know who he is.
Yeah. So I was talking to him at Capture, and he was talking to me.
Chris.
That guy.
Gotcha.
So he's been skateboarding for, like, I think he said, like, somewhere around, like, he was in the tens.
Mm.
And I was like, whoa, that's insane. And he just said, keep your older stuff because you're going to regret, like, not having that. And that hit. So I started, instead of, like, deleting my voice memos and stuff, like, actually saving them.
Yeah.
And so shout out to you. You really changed the way I look at things.
Mm.
But along with that, also try not to look at myself with the criticism that I do. Because, like, the struggle with self-hate as a creative can be, like, some of the, like, craziest stuff. Because you appreciate everyone else's work. But I want to get to a point where I truly appreciate my own work.
I think you also, this will be my final point here, is that you create enough that I feel like you're not looking at other people's as much as like maybe a lot of people are that browse like Instagram or, you know, I don't know where you guys would, like SoundCloud, where a lot of people post like their demos and stuff. Like if you're spending 6 to 8 hours a day, I feel like you're doing less of the intake and more of the output.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yes. I would actually say that is,
that's different than a lot of people.
It is. It really is. And I remember I took a, like, I just like quit Instagram for like a few months. Part of it was for religious reasons, but also just to take a break, because I kept comparing myself to others, and it was just super unhealthy. And I feel like when I quit that, I finally got to the like my prime, like my absolute prime.
I'm in my prime.
Well, yeah, because like I have a new piano teacher. His name's Matt. Shout out to Matt.
Shout out, Matt.
He's like insane jazz musician. He's like, think of like, he talks like Bob Ross.
Oh, okay.
Happy little notes.
Yeah.
But he's taught me how to like infuse such like color and flavor into my music. Mm. And that started happening as I was taking that break from social media. So I just started like climbing and climbing. In fact, I had piano lesson this morning.
Hey, yo, yeah, bright and early. And I picked you up at like 9:30.
Yeah, our piano lessons are like from 8 to 9.
Woo!
Insane. But yeah, having so much time to put towards everything else gives me less time to judge myself because of what other people are doing.
Mm, I see. Hey, well, it's been an honor having you, sir.
Thank you.
It feels like one of those times where I should shake your hand.
Oh, shoot. I'm holding the leaf. I'm switching off hands.
We're fumbling. Boom. That's on camera.
That's on camera. The shake.
All right. We love you guys. Take it easy. Scoot, any last words?
Biscuits are fire.
On gravy. Peace.
Heck yeah.